Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Well, here we are again, Thursday night, Prophetic Ed. I am excited. Now, before we get real involved and get all deep and whatever, make sure you call everybody that you know is prophetic, has been prophetic, is a prophet, could be a prophet, want to be, prophesied. Everybody who's received the prophecy, read about it, heard that there be such a thing as a prophet, call everybody you know in your circle and say, this is a session you don't want to miss. Do that now. Get them on the line. Text them. You know how you put your Facebook stuff in it and tweet them and link them in and all the other stuff that we do. Meanwhile, while you're doing that, let me greet everybody properly. Hello, Blog Talk Radio. That's the oldest child, you know. Hello, Blog Talk Radio. Hello, Periscope. You're the middle child. You know what happens to the middle child. And hello, Facebook. You're the baby. And so I want to thank you all for joining me tonight on Prophetic Ed, where we're going to talk about prophetic activation. Now, I want to start out by apologizing to you now for the fact that you're going to be very upset when I'm done, because I'm not going to be able to finish, and I'm going to awaken a lot of things and stir up a lot of things in you, and you're going to have to wait till next week to get it all. As much as possible, I will, you know, push out what I can, but truthfully, when I started researching this, I discovered it was absolutely larger than I imagined. So that's let me apologize now so that you know that I already told you we will not get through this tonight. But that is another reason why we're happy about it being recorded. You can go back on Facebook, Periscope, and even Blog Talk and listen to it again. So that's the first thing I want to say. We won't get through it all tonight because this is a full class. And what you all may not know that I give you four classes. These are four classes that I'm taking excess out of so that you understand what we teach and how I teach it and all of those kinds of things. And you know I'm not new at this. So that's the first thing. The second thing I want to tell you before I get deep into it and forget, you want to go to Blog Talk Radio, YouTube, and Facebook to get the backstory. I'll make some comments because we get new, you know, listeners every week. I'll make some comments. You won't really know what I'm talking about because you don't have that backstory. And so go and get my previous Prophetic Ed broadcast so that you can catch up. And the last thing I want to tell you is why I'm doing this. I am doing this because I can't escape it. I wish I could tell you it was deep. I can't escape it. I can't escape the questions. I can't escape the confusion. I can't escape the fallout. When you have written as many manuals and texts on this subject as I have, you realize people expect you to address things and that you expect me to have answers and to give you answers. One of my greatest works right here is sitting in front of you, the Prophet's Dictionary, Hallelujah, the Ultimate Guide to Supernatural Wisdom. Now, you know, for anybody to put that kind of tagline on a book, they must really know they've been somewhere. And then we have, is it behind me, the Prophet's Handbook is behind me. If you don't have these tools, you need to get them. You need to get them because they will answer. Now, I want to tell you, because I can't escape it, I'm addressing it. When I have a Q&A, when I go out to do panels, the question keeps coming up, what is activation, what is prophetic activation, and why do we do it? In our office, our prophets can probably, if they were all here, tell you how often they get the question and the confusion. I want to emphasize the question and the confusion. What is prophetic activation? And now that I've gone through it, why am I not better? Why am I not stronger? Why am I not more profound? Why isn't God talking more to me? Why aren't doors opening for me? See, all of those are real issues. Now, some people, not so much a problem. For others, there are. So let me tell you my point of view. I educate the kingdom. I don't just educate this church or that church and fall into this dispensation or that dispensation. I don't have one. Everything I did, I went to ground zero to get it. When you want to make sure that you examine something at its core, you go to ground zero. and I read and have read since 1982. All the information you can, I've read, I don't know, 7, 8, 9, I don't even know how many translations of the Bible. I have so many Bibles I've marked up because, you know, I want to know what they're like. I want to know what they're thinking. And when I read a Bible translation, guess what I do? I take into consideration the translators, the people who decided this is the way to present it. I like to know what their doctrine is, what their theology is, what their beliefs are. I like to know what school of thought motivated them, what school of thought are they confronting or refuting. All of those things I take into consideration when I decide what Bible I'm going to read and why I'm going to use this one or that one. Now, I happen to favor the New King James Version and not the new versions of it today because I want to tell you something, prophetic people. Part of why we're tripped up is because you don't realize how serious the warfare has been against Jesus Christ and his church and his spirit. You don't realize his word is under constant attack. And if his word is under attack, then you need to know the agents of his word are going to be under attack as well. So a lot of the modern translations are very evangelical. They're evangelical because they want to walk light. They don't want to walk heavy. They don't want God's heavy hand. They want his love. It's all about the agenda, and you need to know the agenda. So you can say, I like reading this because it's so easy. But you should ask yourself, if you're prophetic, why is it easy? You should ask yourself, what is it that's easing me? Because that's going to answer a lot of questions. Now, another point, when you go to online, and I think I said this in our first class, when you go online and you look up words, when you see phrases on these modern definitions of archaic, not in use, and obsolete, I want to tell you something. That is all about Christianity. That is changing the language to fit the agenda of the culture, not the culture for the people, but to shape the consciousness of the people to the culture of the deity that they're serving. This is good people stuff. Now, so you need to recognize that. So there are a lot of translations I don't read. They're not going to do me any justice at all. Not once at all. So you need to recognize I'm not being difficult as much as I've done my homework. And if you are a real prophet and if you're a real prophetic person, you know your number one duty is to Christ. And you also know that if he has advocates, he has to have adversaries. He doesn't just have advocates. And so under the present paradigm, we just talked to you about God's advocates. How much he loves people, and how much people just love him. Not everybody loves your Savior, and if you read your Bible, it will tell you. Not everybody wants to be with Jesus Christ. Our job is to seek and save that which is lost. Our job is to get those who are ordained before the foundation of the world in the kingdom and to verify those who do not want him. This is a tough job, folks, but it's a wonderful one if you go ahead on and give it your heart. Now, having said that, I hope that helped. Did that help you all? So when you read your dictionary, this is what I want you to remember. Go where it says obsolete. I spend a lot of time when I can in out-of-print books and out-of-print this and that because that's when Jesus' church would make calling the shots. Now we have lost that power to call the shots and to really make the decisions and sway culture. And because we've lost that power, that influence, you have to recognize that all of the language is going to be skewed away from him, away from the church. And what can't be skewed away from aims to discredit. Prophets don't buy propaganda. I want to say that again. Prophets don't buy propaganda. Apostles don't buy propaganda. And if you do, it's because you've not had a deep enough encounter with the God you say you serve. We don't buy propaganda because propaganda is about taking down one power and putting another in its place. Always remember that because you have to think differently. Now, having said that, here's the question. Educate or activate? I think you can see it on the screen. Do we educate or activate? Now, I want to tell you something. I am not a fan of tearing down all that God has done to create a place for myself. That's probably why you all haven't heard me swinging and slugging and whatnot out and doing that. Now, I was not a part of the last move. God did not call me to that. God did not call me to do that. He didn't call me to be just a soul winner. He called me to be a soul sanctifier and a soul consecrator. He wanted me to help him sanctify souls, and you can only do that with the Word of God. So I wasn't called to that. I wasn't called to the evangelical mindset or paradigm. I wasn't called to charismata. I wasn't called to the charismatics. I wasn't called to Word of Faith. And I'm going to tell you something. When you're a prophet, you have to recognize you can't fall into a camp or a league. Because the minute you do, you cease to speak for God. You then begin to speak for the highest, bigger, or the loudest voice. Is that helping you all? That kind of landed. Didn't that land real good? I'm just warming up. I'm just getting, right now, God's just going, I'm just wounding up. So, I wasn't called to that. So, I even though I studied those things, I read them, I interacted with them, I blessed all those people who did it. They had a tough job. They made some great things happen. So, hear me. This is not a replacement, but this is correction, and prophets bring correction. Apostles bring correction and perfection. Paul always talked about going on to perfection, perfecting this and perfecting that. That's an apostle's job. And if you look up perfecting, it doesn't mean completely flaw-free. It means fully mature and fully developed for the purpose for which it is ordained in the moment. You're going to be more perfect tomorrow than you are today. Praise him. Moving on. Prophecy is eternity publicizing itself in time. Prophecy is eternity publicizing itself in time. It's God's eternal word. Now, what makes it prophecy is that it originates outside of our time, because anything originating in God is outside of time. Since the definition of prophecy is to say or speak beforehand, then we are getting advanced information. It's like CNN getting the entire overnight news in its world today, even though it pertains to tomorrow night. Do you realize how much power that would be if they could say, I know all of this information. We have it right now. Folks, we can tell you right now. We can tell you that on thus and so day, there will be an earthquake. It will take out this many people. It will hit this many territories. And we have 12 months to get you ready for it. Do you realize what that would mean? Well, that's the power of prophecy. Tomorrow's, next year's, next generation's answers today. That's why it's such a powerful institution. And so prophecy, beginning in God, is outside of our time zones. It breaks the time barrier, and it utters God's mind in this world's 24/7, 365 window. That's what it does. And it does it on God's clock, not ours. Now, when I teach later on in our sessions about manifest prophetic and prophecy being encoded, God's encoded creation, you will appreciate this much more. But if you look to the right, my right might be your left, but if you look to the screen, you'll see prophetic headlines coming up out of God's world into the everyday world. And so prophecy is always God speaking into his creation. He's speaking into time, and he has reasons for doing it. Activation is a word that has its place in the prophetic, but let's see if we can properly place it. So T, educate, activate questions. Here, you're going to like these questions. I'm telling you, you're going to like them. Number one, because you can't solve an issue until you address the issues, and the issue begins with questions. Why is it a concern? Why is it a problem? What are the drawbacks? What are the assets? What are the benefits? What's the handicap? You need to know those things. We can't just say we don't like something because it strikes us wrong. When I just, you know, my spirit just doesn't feel that. Baby, your spirit may not be mature enough to feel. You realize that what breaks an adult's heart, a kid will laugh at. Do you know that? Children will crack up at sorrowful moments because their spirit is not mature enough to realize what's going on. Why do you think you have kids that are doing pranks at inopportune times? So we have to, I can't assume that your spirit is mature enough to make a sound judgment on something that God is doing. That was good. Wasn't that good? I knew that was good. Because you are, we're gullible. We have to stop being gullible. You can't just take people's word for it that they are quality assessors of a situation. You're going to have to ask hard questions. and pointed questions to get some pointed answers. So here are some of the questions I came up with. What does activation do? What should activation accomplish? Does activation educate? Does education activate? Why educate or activate? I want to leave that up there for you just for a moment, because these are questions that you can take to your training group, you can take to your prayer group, your intercessors, and they are important questions. Now, I have been told over and over again since I've been doing this, I give a whole lot of information and a whole lot of stuff away free. Trust me, I'm doing it at the will of God. I do know the value and the worth of what I'm doing, but God says to tell you I'm accomplishing something bigger than you all can imagine. So I'm doing this, and I will do it until he tells me to stop. And I'm not cheating you for my profit motives and my marketing reasons. I know how to market. I've told you I left a major company as a major account executive, so I know how to market. But I also know that men ought to obey God rather than man. I got to do this the way God wants it done. So that is why we're going this way. Probing questions, okay? Now, let's look at the probing questions. You see, on your screen, I know, I'm so proud of my see, you guys are doing such a great job. But you see, the basic questions, you don't know the questions to ask, just do with the who, what, when, where, how, and why. You'll get your battle started. But let's look at some of the things that I came up with. Who is the prophetic for? Is the prophetic for God or man? Is the prophetic for heaven or earth? Is the prophetic for the prophet or the hearer? Who is the prophetic for? Can you answer that question? And when they activated you, did they give you the answer? What is the prophetic to do? Why does God speak into people's lives? Does he just want to let everybody know, hey, I'm here, you guys, I'm a maker? Is that all he wants to do? Or is there something else that he's looking to accomplish in a listener's or hearer's life? Why does he do it? When is the prophetic service ready? When is someone ready to serve versus when we want to let them serve? You realize that the church puts 12-year-olds up as prophets. No other institution does that. They put 16-year-olds up as prophets, and no other institution does that. None. You get a kid that shows an aptitude for medicine, you send them to med school. They show an aptitude for law, you send them to law school. They show an aptitude for horticulture, you send them to horticultural school. So I thought I'd get a little different. Did you see that horticulture? It says stretch that out. Wasn't that good? That's good. I know it's good. But we are the only ones to do it. You put your children on the front line to fight the same devils that are taking out adults and nations because they can speak a little bit of prediction. They can't, now listen, these are the same, it cracks me up when someone said, well, I've been in this thing since I was 16. I'm not impressed, because at 16, you still had to go to school. You still had to go to school. You had to pass high school, so how much did you put in this? That's number one. Your hormones were raising, and I have to assume that you remained a virgin. Because, see, I can't fornicate as an adult prophet. I need to know why you can fornicate as a kid prophet. That's the danger of putting a kid out there. So then they stand in my face and say, I've been doing this 20 years. No, you haven't. The first 11 years you were in school, and that does not count. You were mimicking. You didn't know what you were learning. You were mimicking. Kids only mimic. And if they have a calling, they mimic well, but they still mimic. So I'm going to tell you right now, pull those kids out of that office and let them pay dues like everybody else has to do. Why do they get to not pay dues? And then you wonder why they're falling and erring and whoring later on down the line. Oh, yeah, Dr. Price is on. Let me tell you what I did before I came in. Listen, guys, this is what I did before I came out. I said, Jesus, I give you my mouth. I give you my heart. I give you my thoughts. Jesus, can I help you? My people will tell you that is exactly what I said. Jesus, you are on your own. So I want you to understand he has a problem with you all doing that, because he said it makes him look like he's a sham. He said, I hate it. It makes it look like I'm a sham, that I have nothing but ignorant, immature, underdeveloped children to do a job that I found nations with. So, yes, I'm going there. I just decided to put my boots on. I got a boot. Hallelujah. No, I'm not impressing somebody tell me they've been doing that 12, because either you played hooky from school and didn't do your academic homework, or you didn't do your prophetic training. Something gave. You couldn't do both. Hallelujah. If you want your, if you have youngsters who are prophetic, then create a prophetic kids camp, create adolescent prophet camp, and let them pay their dues and come up the ranks like everybody else does. You want the world to take you seriously, and you put babies in the place of adult officials. Hallelujah. I know I'm warming up stuff now. Am I warming it up? I'm warming up. In service, ready, office ready. Which is the difference? Just because a person can prophesy, they may be ready to serve. Ministry means a synonym for ministry is serve, but that doesn't mean they're ready to discharge the duties and responsibility or bear the burdens of the office. Why should prophecy exist? You should be able to answer that. These are questions that you should roll off before somebody sets you free on somebody and unleashes you on the world. How should prophets be equipped? There is a way. The Bible is full of it, and I use the scriptures. And everything I did, this book came from the Bible. All these 1,600 terms, the Bible. All of these pages, the Bible. The other books that I've written, the scriptures. And you know what? I was surprised that God had addressed these issues, because I was told in my wonderful charismatic church that we just kind of do what we felt and go by the unction within and all of that. So imagine my surprise when I realized that God didn't trust my unction. He certainly didn't trust it to function the way he wanted. How should divine communicants be prepared? These are probing questions. So I know by now you have them. I'm sure some of you all have clicked them and all of that. You can see how much I love you, but I love my Savior, and I want to give him what his people need. All right. So we have up there energy activation, activate, and the comprehension questions. Prophets are interrogators. That is basic. That's basic to the mantle. They're interrogators. They're always going to ask you questions. They're always going to try to make sense out of things because they make connections. Prophets learn by making connections. And that's just who we are. So let's look at this. Bottom line, educated people think, activated people do. So here's a question for you. Which is more dangerous, thinking without doing or doing without thinking? You all can answer me. I'd love to hear some of your answers, because we need to put that, what is more important? Heretofore, under the present model, doing your ministry is more important than learning it. Doing what you feel God called you to do has taken precedence over what God needs done well. God needs wisdom. That's why I keep telling you, Luke 11:49, wisdom calls apostles and prophets. Wisdom. Wisdom means it takes time to be good, and excellence is always the goal. Excellence is always the goal. You cannot say God is excellent and you're okay being mediocre. We just have to change that. So under the present paradigm, the gift mentality is do, do, do. You know, I had a talk with Prophet Ashley, and I want to tell you, one day we're going to put our prophets around the table, because this woman's mouth is amazing to me. I have some really smart prophets, and they better be, because I don't deal with the dumb prophets. I'm sorry, unenlightened, I'm with you. Wanting to learn, I'm going to train you. Eager to understand, hey, you got Dr. Price all day long. Proud of not knowing and pushing ahead with being unenlightened and liking it? No, that's not me, because I will not discredit my king. See, when you realize that the prophetic is for God and it's not for humans, then you will stop discrediting him. You will stop making him look bad. You will stop causing him to be the butt of people's jokes. We did that. They treat our God badly because we do. Because whatever we permit is what's allowed, and whatever we restrict is what's forbidden. So let's start with education and training. Let's get to the next part of this. Starting out point. This is where we're going to start. Prophecy pre and post Christ. So we're going to talk about that. Do a little bit of backstory. Give you some background. Just going to review how we got here and what we're doing. And this should be important to you. It is amazing to me that prophets do not want to learn or learn to speak. The prophets are worthless. Our job is that we word everything. We word God's thoughts. We word God's feelings. We word God's emotions. We word his reactions. We word God. That's what prophets do. That's why he created the institution, to to give words to his otherwise inaudible, invisible, indiscernible thoughts and presence, expressions. So whatever God expresses, or, you know, expresses, just X out press. Whatever God presses out of his world into this one, he charges prophets to word for him. And yet we have prophets who can't read. Well, I don't need to read to hear from God. You do. You need to read to know what he's saying. If he uses words you don't know, we're not getting the word. If he uses a phrase you never heard of, we aren't going to get that prophecy. That thing is going to be dead on the altar of ignorance, dead on the altar of illiteracy. But, yeah, we don't think that's important. Well, I could read my Bible. It's really nice that you can read your Bible, but the words that are in the Bible, depending on what translation you're using, you're going to have to translate that to the modern world. There are a lot of prophecies you didn't get because the speaker couldn't communicate it. Well, God gave me something for you, but I can't give it to you right now because, I mean, you know, I can't put it in words. Translate it. I don't have the vocabulary. Isn't he good? He's a good, isn't he a good Jesus? Okay, so we represent the word of God, and we can't read. We represent the word of God, and we can only speak from a fifth grade education. So when God wants to give a word to a rocket scientist, you're out. Then you wonder why they don't want to pay us any attention. Still talking about accusation, but I think I'm making the point. Am I making the point? Come on, tell me now. You know, I need some more hearts and claps and stuff. You know, I need that. I like the little stomping guy, the little soldier guy like him. He's my friend. Hallelujah. He is my friend. So I want to say this to you because it's important for you to hear me. This, we are worders, which means you should not have a prophetic education or training that does not handle vocabulary, does not handle terminology. We need that. You need it, and you need to have the terminology of God's world and the terminology of this world, the terminology of the eternal and ancient, and the terminology of the contemporary. And it was, I'm telling you, it was important to God that I could communicate, and I can handle words. And you know why? Because he said, whomever I send you to, I need you to be able to speak, and I need you to be able to articulate what I say. As I say it, I don't need you to give in other words. I don't need you to paraphrase it because you may not pick the right synonyms. And then the message is skewed. Educate and activate what they mean. So I want to talk to you a little bit about prophecy pre and post Christ. We talked when we first introduced prophetic ed about the difference between biblical prophecy and its definitions and modern prophecy definitions, which are largely based on seeing and saying, hearing and speaking. And, you know, dreaming and declaring. All right? That's what it's largely based on. So we are at a point now where we don't know how to prove a prophecy is correct and what it is, because the Greco-Roman model, which the definitions are coming from for the New Testament, because remember, the New Testament was born under the Romans and all of that, so we were under a whole lot of different spirit. By that time, polytheism was big. And so their culture and their terminology reigned. So when you're talking about see and say prophetics, hear and speak prophetics, you're really talking about not much more than just mimicry. God is just using you to prophesy. It's predictive. Part of why you're disturbed with this today is because it's only predictive and nothing is regulating it, and you have to take people's word for it. You realize how much you said it, come on, Jesus. See, all right. I'm getting there. I'm being calm. Did you hear how calm I am? I'm being so good today, but it's not going to last. It's not going to last. Listen, the Greco-Roman model is based on polytheism, and a lot of that has to do with the oracle at Delphi, with the Pythian oracle and all of that. A lot of it is based on that. And so it's based on picking up information from any deity that happens to be in the vicinity or any spiritual voice that happens to be in the vicinity. That's what it's based on. It's based on any particular voice in the vicinity. That is not what biblical prophecy is based on. Biblical prophecy is based on the fact that Israel, God's nation, was monotheistic, only one deity. If anything that didn't conform to the character, the presence, the standards, the motivations, the pattern of that deity was considered false prophecy. Didn't matter that it came to pass. Didn't matter that people liked it. Didn't matter that people loved it. That, none of that mattered. The only thing mattered was that it was not, it did not fit the form and function and the pattern of our God. Yahweh was considered to have a particular way of speaking, thinking, communicating. He was already recognized as having a particular group of thoughts, a particular thought line, and issues that affected him. And so we took time to know that. That's why those prophets could not be made in a weekend. They couldn't be made in 6, 7, 10 weeks. Them, if they got that much, I mean, come on. I mean, we talked about earlier about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We always talk about, you know, just Daniel because he ended up being the prophet and the others ended up being the administrator. But nonetheless, they all had to learn the supernatural. They all had the same education. We don't think about that, but they did. Daniel wasn't the only one in prophet school. They all had the same education. So there is a place for everybody to know and learn the prophetic if God introduced it to the world. Okay? We got to get that right. Now, so we talked about that. We talked about prophecy for God is simply whatever God says. If God says Hachu and we don't get it for 50 years, it's still prophecy. Because you realize that a lot of things God said, it's just like us understanding our solar system. There are things that don't hit us for years, centuries, millennia. There are certain moves in our universe that's old and obsolete as far as God's concerned that we might not get for millennia. Remember, Balaam said, I see him, but not now. Balaam was, you know, he was a prophet for hire all day long. But Balaam said, I see him, but not now. Now, why was he able to do that? Because he went into the eternity, and it was only two times that Balaam, really the only time Balaam ever prophesied from the Almighty purely. God shut every other deity that he had been working for down for the purposes of decreeing Jesus Christ is coming, because it was the last word Balaam was going to give for the God of creation. And he said, but I see him. And so what did he go? He tapped into the millennia of Jesus Christ and said that he's coming out of Judah. That word, the last time we heard that word was, of course, the gospel preached to Abraham. But as far as it being given to the world, and whenever God uses world prophets, it's because God's getting ready to act on the world. And he's getting ready to impose his sovereignty on the whole planet, and he's giving everybody an opportunity to understand it and to explain it. Oh, that was good. You know that was good. Come on, Jesus. Whew. I told you, get a man my voice. He said, I got something to say. So what does activate mean? It's getting good, guys. Getting good. Activate. From several sources, online dictionaries, and articles, it can be safely said that the word activate means, number one, to turn on or to start. Now, hear me. I want you to get these meanings. I won't finish tonight, and that's okay. But you need to get these meanings so that you can begin to examine yourself and examine your personal activation and see where it landed and if it achieved. Okay, to turn on or to start, to trigger and set in motion. To make active, to make more absorptive, in other words, able to absorb more, to treat so as to improve inactive properties. So activation, number one, is a switch, switches you on. Number two, it's a trigger. It sets something in motion. Do you know what that is? Number three, it's to make you active. Active in what? Number four, to make you more absorptive. Absorbing what? And then to treat so as to improve inactive properties. Next one, because there are three of these. Next one, what else does activate mean? To put in motion and to work. So when you got activated, you were put to work. Are you working what you were activated in? Are you working it? And where are you working it? You went away to some wonderful retreat, but did that retreat make arrangements with your church to let you work there? I just thought I'd ask. To make something operative. What? Now, these are all full statements. Activation from all of these definitions assumes that the product or the device or instrument is fully powered and equipped. To cause to engage in an activity, to organize or create a body of persons or collection of materials for a particular service or function. In other words, activation drafts you in God's service. I want you to look at these words because there are some things. Are you all getting, is this speaking to you all? This is powerful stuff. Now look at the rest of it. To convert, to carry out a specific action. Activation should have converted you, not confused you. To convert into an active form that has a particular function or objective. Activation is not just some random thing that happens, like you went to church and they laid hands on you and whatever. Activation is not just receiving a prophecy. It's important. Activation is to make you active and effective and to cause you to function or act. So when you came back and you're still scared and you're still nervous and all of those kinds of things, you weren't ready. Okay, next one. It gets better. Other things activate means to convert. The last one. Activation comes from the same root as the adjective active, which is from the Latin actus, which means a doing, a driving, or an impulse. So activation was to make your prophetic a driving impulse in your life to achieve a particular function for God. It's getting better. Oh, that's going to be so good. Skip that one. I'm going to skip that because we'll come back to that later. To activate something is to make it active. When you're free to activate your remote and you can change the channel. When you activate a credit or library card, you can start using it. Hear me. I just said something. So activate meant that. When a coach activates a player on the sports team, the player enters the game. If someone activates a bomb, you should run. If the pancakes you're cooking burst into flames, you'll probably activate the smoke alarm. Vocabulary.com, so you know where I got this from. Now, it's important because you recognize activation was to turn something on, to release, to alert, to enable something to do something else. All right, examples of the word accident. The president has activated the reserves, touched the screen to activate the system, activate the instrument by pushing a button. Instrument can be activated by remote control. It is an effect or an event that activates a sequential or consequential reaction. So ask yourself, just take a moment right now and just breathe and ask yourself, what was turned on? What was activated? What am I now able to do? And every one of these are visible, tangible results. Not, well, we'll just see. Well, we'll just wait and see. You know, every one of them are results. Moving on. Activation for prophesiers and spiritual gifters. Here's where it gets good. Activation is for prophesiers and spiritual gifters. Well, I didn't know that until I started digging. I mean, I knew it, but I, you know, wasn't able to articulate it until I started digging into this. It's local church design, which is why it's for edification, exhortation, and comfort. Prophets are not about edification, exhortation, and comfort. Prophets discharge a function to keep a population in the grace and in the righteousness and the truth of God. They're not about your little issues. They're not about your little pecs and whatnot. If that comes up, you're blessed. And unless it's a local church prophet, and even that's different. So if your prophetics are limited to edifying, making people feel good, hallelujah, just stroking something, we just love you, telling people that they're okay no matter what they're doing, telling people that God is pleased with them no matter what their lifestyle is, if that's your word, you are not a prophet. You are a prophesier at the height. And you are a spiritual gifter at the least. Because the prophetic has never been exclusively for that. And because we separated the Old Testament from the New Testament, oh, come on, prophets, y'all hear me, because you know I'm telling you the truth, the whole truth, the Holy Ghost truth. And so because we separated the testaments, we made you think that the prophet under the New Testament is not the same as the prophet under the Old. But see, God didn't have testaments. God had pre and post Christ. He had Christ over one nation, and he had Jesus Christ over all the world. Same institution. Institution's the same. The only thing that changed in the New Testament is God introduced the apostle and put that apostle over the prophet because the prophets handled government differently. So it's a local church design. It's not for authority figures. Activation is not for authority figures because you cannot do what the office calls for in a short course. There is no short course for getting ready to be a head of state or an official of government. There's no short course. And if that's what a prophet really is, a counsel to governmental leaders and authorities. So to take care, now this is what God did, to take care of the body, everyday body, you know, he made these prophesiers. And he did a great job. We just love him for it. Smooches, Jesus, you did great. All right? But that he did not do away with those who had to handle his leaders, speak into the issues of this world, face off with his adversaries and all of that. Edification, exhortation, and comfort doesn't prepare you for spiritual warfare. It doesn't prepare you for a smack-back devil. It doesn't prepare you for the whole occult of institution that's out there. Activation will not get you ready for that. It will make you able to talk to your church and help Sister Susie with her kids, you know, speak out a few things after the prayer group, shout a little bit after praise and worship is over, you know, yell out something after people finish running around the church. So it's about edification, exhortation, and comfort. And those are three things that prophets are not necessarily going to give you. Now, they're going to give God some edification. They're going to build his body. They're going to have some exhortation with God. Speak, Lord, speak. And they're going to comfort God for all of the transgressions and offenses that he's living with every day. It's not for founders or high leaders. It's not for officials of the kingdom. Because all of those are for the actual discharge of high-level kingdom affairs. You cannot learn government, people, politics, diplomacy, etc. in a 7-week course, in a 10-week course. In a 10-month course, those are master's and doctoral levels knowledges. Prophets are enforcers, legislators, and judges that need higher education and greater expertise than this brief class can provide. Now, if you're, and true prophets want it, a true prophet will say to me all day long, how long is the class? Oh, this is going to take you some. Okay, because I don't want to get out there and be wrong. I don't want to mess up for God. See, the gifter always wants to express their gift, could care less about messing up. All they want is an opportunity. Gifters are not concerned about anything but an opportunity to speak what they have heard or say they heard from God. An official is concerned about repercussions, ramifications, and fallout. True prophets are concerned about fallout because they know that thing spreads like cancer in the body. An errant prophecy, you think about the guy that said, you know, the world was going to end 2011. Here we are, still today. And you know how many people got on that bandwagon because they were so enthusiastic about hearing something futuristic, they didn't even care that it was going to be destructive. It takes more than encouragement or prediction to establish and secure a nation. Populations. It takes more than that. Now, why am I saying that? Because the Bible said we are God's what? Royal priesthood, holy nation. And you cannot take care of the ills and issues and ails of a nation from a 3-week program and somebody slapping oil on your hands and you grabbing a group of people talking in tongues for 30 seconds and then saying the first thing to pop in your mind. Trust me. Now, I did this in the mid-90s, and here we are again with the fallout. So in the mid-90s, I taught all of this. It's in my book, Constructing Contemporary Prophet, and several other books. I taught it, but you know what? Well, then we were still intoxicated on opportunities and our gift expression. But now that we're living with the fallout, we want to come back, and we're doing what mature, intelligent people do. We're examining our course and checking out for flaws so that we can correct ourselves. Prophetic activation is a safety, because now what is prophetic activation? Prophetic activation is a safety implied process. I want to say safety implied process that turns on the exclusive attributes and efficacies of one either born with the prophet spirit or one especially predisposed to the Holy Spirit's prophetic uses. Now, you know that is good, that is good, that is good. Isn't that great? This is mine. I don't have to take anybody else's information. I am loaded with all I need right now. This is mine. Dr. Paula Price, this is mine. I totally copyrighted in my course, in my program. I'm sharing it with you. Prophetic activation is supposed to imply a safety. A safe process has taken place to turn on the exclusive attributes and efficacies of one either born with the prophet spirit or one especially predisposed to the Holy Spirit's prophetic uses. Next one. All activation has to have definite aims. All activation has to have, definite aims. Now, why am I saying that? Well, what should those aims be? Again, prophets are interrogators. That is why we're having this conversation. That is why when you started talking to me, you wanted to get these answers because you ask questions, and you ask questions because you need clarification. Why is clarification important to prophets? Because clarification is what they do. The word declare actually means to clarify. It doesn't just mean shout out loud. Look it up. Clarify. So how does one uniformly achieve these aims? And what are the aims? We've got them. I laid them out for you. This is really great. And I named them. I laid them out with a little bit of, had a little fun, with the acronym AMUSER. The aims for activation must be achievable, measurable, uniform, standardizable, evaluable, and replicable. Or is it just an amusement? What are you supposed, when you left that weekend class or that 10-week class, that 2-week program, what were you supposed to do? What were you licensed to do? What were you authorized to do? What were you enabled to do? When you had your activation, what did you walk away with? How to pray in tongues? Well, you probably went in there with that ability. Now, again, if you're a prophesier, God bless you. Enjoy it. But that's not what an official needs. And if you're an official prophet, that was only orientation. So you went, you spend a little money, have a little orientation. But if you're supposed to be a worder, if you're supposed to give word everything God thinks, everything God feels, and word it in a way that handles his justice, his diplomacy, his development, his government, his administration, his covenant, if you were went in there with that, you didn't walk out with that. So that means we're making a lot of things up as we go along. We're shooting from the hip, and we're reaching in the clouds. I don't think that's going to get the job done, people. What do you think? Activation is or should be based on a prophecy candidate's inherent gifts, talents, faculties, and potential functionality. Not everybody can bear this. Remember, we had this whole conversation about the children, putting kids up. Do you know the people put children up because they don't know the prophecy to be anything more than prediction? That's all. Because let me tell you something. If you thought that the spirits that fight adults would not fight your kids, you wouldn't put your kids out there like that. A lot of these Christian kids are in trouble because their parents threw them into warfare that they did not know. You sent them out there to do a job for which they were not psycho, emotionally, or spiritually equipped to do or outfitted by God to win. You did that. Well, my father, he preaching next week. He's 14. He has nothing to say at 14, but where's my razor? And I got 3 cousins. That's all. He ain't got nothing else to say. Because anything he says is what he feels. If the Lord God of hosts told Jesus to submit himself to Mary and Joseph at 12 years old, and he couldn't say another thing till he was 30, who is your kid? And you can't say it's because you got the Holy Ghost. Jesus is the Holy Ghost. Who's your kid? Told Jesus, 30 years old, I'm a child. His father, and said he was subject to them. He was subject to them. Well, who you think said he wasn't scared of Mary and Joseph? He just got through taking on the wrath over biblical college. And stoning them. You know, if that was us, honey, our kids would be on television and everything. But not God. God said, that's not why I gave you that. That's not why I made you my kid. That's not why I sent you into the planet. I sent you into the planet to carry out a particular plan. And when I activate you, you will be 30, and you will have something to say. And you will have paid your dues. Jesus could not even be the man baptized. Now, he's Jesus. He is Jesus. J-E-S-U-S. Yeshua HaMashiach. Call him whatever you want. Honey pot, sugar, smooches. I don't care. But the man is God. He comes to the planet as God, and he gets to be baptized by John the Baptist. He got to be baptized. The man can't preach to be baptized. And then after he's baptized, he said, okay, now he should be able to go to ministry. No, you go to the wilderness. You go to the wilderness because you need to meet your enemy and defeat him between you and him before you let everybody know that you defeated him publicly. See, that's Bible. So some of those people should have gone to the wilderness after they got the calling instead of going to the stage. Because when Satan comes, he's playing for keeps. Hallelujah. Anyway, am I getting there, folks? Because you know I'm getting all wound up and carrying on. Oh, Jesus, because it's crazy. How is it that we are imposing a liberty and a laxity on people that God didn't even allow his own son? And he knew Jesus was going to get it right because Jesus was Yahweh. And he said, you know what? How is it you sought me? Didn't you know I'd be about my father's business? God said, you're not ready to handle my business. You're too young. And it says he was subject to them. And when we hear about Jesus again, he's at the wedding of Cana, making some turning some water into wine. Conditions for prophetic activation, evaluation. First of all, let's find out if the people you are activating are activatable. Okay, what is their life like? Because Saul's life wasn't clean, so when he got with those prophets, he went crazy. So a lot of these people lost their mind because the prophetic is pure, but it's also a natural vetter. And so it's going to vet people. Here's another one, readiness activities. What is it that you call being ready? There ought to be some standards, test it. Your people need to do more than give you a permission before you to give them your authority. Testing, proving, practice. And finally, performance assessment. Now, these all have explanations, and if we were in class, we'd have fun with this. We're not doing that tonight because, well, we don't have time. But I want you to understand that you are talking about going to a class, 500 people, 200 people in a class. You don't know who's shacking. You don't know who's fornicating. You don't know who's on drugs. You don't know who's a pedophile. You don't know who's a criminal, and you don't care. But God cares. And God dispatches his agents of correction after those people because now God's got to make sure they don't taint his institution. Oh, come on, Jesus. Isn't this good? Isn't this good? Ah, y'all have encouragement. I need encouragement. You know I'm stepping on stuff. This is like 40 years. I'm glad I'm 64. L.A. Activation verifies the prophet's instrumentality to God and capabilities for his kingdom works. You should not activate anybody that's not verified. How in the world are you going to literally give somebody a weekend something or other and then certify them, license them, or authorize them to go out and do that, unleash them on the body? Do you realize that people go to law school and still can't get in the court until they pass the bar? People go to medical school, can't get in there until they pass. You go to cosmetology school, get an A. I'm an A student. I went to cosmetology school. I'm good. And boy, when I cut a hair, it's cut. And when I do some nails, it's done. And you know what the state says? Not until we say so. Not until you pass our board. See, folks, we don't require it because we really don't think it's a big deal, and we don't think it's a big deal because we don't think speaking for God is a big deal, and we don't think lying about saying we're speaking for God is a big deal either. And we don't think divine communications error is a big deal. We don't see anything. All we want to know, see, let me tell you how this prophetic thing is going. Because I'm going to have to end it on this. Let me tell you how this thing is going. This thing, the prophetic, was revived in the church, and it was started in the church, so it was literally formed by church, by local church, by the rules of the pastorate and the rules of the councils and all of that. That's how it began. Now, that's not how God intended it to be, but, you know, new babies are born in old wombs. So it started in the church, but it was never meant in the church. It's prophetic, never began in the church. Its first introduction to the church was when, after the apostles set the church up. So that means that it was very evangelical. So this, literally, we run the prophetic like an evangelist runs an evangelical meeting. We issue prophecies like they issue the gospel. We give the word of the Lord as the way they have an altar call. The presbytery is the prophet's altar call. All right, come on up here. Everybody come on up here. We're going to give y'all a word. Come on up here. Now, the serious prophet will get tired of that after a while. And then after that, because of that, we run it off, and then we sit there and we unleash you to go and take the prophecies around the world like we unleash an evangelist to take the gospel. To go with, so the evangelists are sent out to win souls, and the prophets are sent out to, or the prophesiers are sent out to give words, to predict the future. Does anybody see where the problem is? The prophet is not an evangelist. And with the, so the first thing you need to do is strip away those evangelical roots and those evangelical functions that we're attaching to the prophetic. The prophet's duty, the prophet's reason for speaking is entirely different from the evangelist's reasons for speaking. Or any other five folder, for that matter. Well, I'm going to give you these last two, and then we're going to turn it over to Prophet Ashley. I hope you'll be all right with me having to leave you. I already apologize for leaving you hanging. The verifying process should be a rigorous program that assures candidates for prophetic service have the necessary attributes of a prophet spirit or manifest a credible prophetic gifting. Last one. Pre-activation should determine that these exist, hallelujah, and future prophetic ministers should have the essential competencies to carry out prophetic duties and responsibilities. There needs to be a proven process that goes beyond standing in a circle, prophesying, praying in tongues until you feel something, and then go on and do it. Do you know that there, and sometimes it takes me an hour to get a word, because, well, then I'm not trying to get a slogan. I'm not trying to get a statement, and I'm not trying to give you the feel-good fix. I'm trying to tell you what thus says the Lord for your life. I have to give you what God will back. Prophesying under the present mood, they do not care if God can't back it. All they want to know is that they can say it. Prophet Ashley.
To say after that, I want you to do one thing tonight, and that is to go to drpaulaaprice.com and see what you need to do to get here in June for our Tulsa Prophetic Training Institute. This, I think, Dr. Price has just kicked open a whole lot. And a lot of prophets, a lot of apostles and intercessors. The Tulsa Prophetic Training Institute is not just for official prophets. It is for the prophesiers, the gifters, the officers, apostles. A lot of apostles come to the event. They bring their people, and they come themselves so they know how to take the lead in their own ministry. So if you are a leader and you want to take the lead in your ministry, you need to be here in June to get this information firsthand in more than just 1 hour a week. Trust me, what Dr. Price does here is nothing compared to what you will receive at the Tulsa Prophetic Training Institute. So we are counting down. All right. So we are counting down, 90 seconds. Be here. We are not periscoping this whole event. I'm going to tell you right now. You're going to get the Paula Price Show Hour. And that's probably about it, because people are paying money to be here, and we don't want to cheapen that by just giving it away for free for everyone who cannot be here. So for the record, this event will not be periscoped all day and night. Probably one session, maybe two of God moves on my soul and spirit, but don't count on it, and don't be praying that he does, okay?
Well, that's not going to happen.
I know. You're going to get the Paula Price Show Hour, and that is all. So make sure, don't wait at home saying we were waiting for you to periscope, and it never came on.
Because it's not coming on.
Right.
Hallelujah. Well, make sure, again, go to drpaulaaprice.com, get some more information. If you want me to come and finish and bring an entire program like this into your church, it'll tell you how to do it. You want me to bring it to your school, your Bible college, or your university, hey, just go online and let's do it, because that's what we do. And if we can all get this, come on, we can begin to correct our own inadequacies and our own missteps. Until Tuesday. ABCs of Apostleship, Discipling Apostolic Christian. Hey, play this again and again and again. And listen, Thank you all, but I need you. Don't let anybody tell you that I don't. We cannot do this with an army of one. We have to do this with the army of millions. God bless you until Tuesday.